IT businesses in Sacramento, California.
From somewhere deep in the cloud in the corners of the earth, this is the Killing It Podcast, with a focus on helping you make sense and dollars of all things IT, with your hosts, Dave Sobel, Ryan Morris, and Carl Polichuk.
Hi, this is Carl Polichuk, and I am joined today by two amazing, amazing people. And we're going to start a totally new podcast. And the co-hosts, I guess, here are Dave Sobel and Ryan Morris. So why don't we start with Dave and just give us your introduction, who you are and what you want to do for a living.
Cool. I'll do the career version. So I after graduating with a computer science degree, I took a route through consulting. And the only thing everyone ever cares about in the channel is that I own and operating an MSP for about a decade. So lived the solution provider life, and then post that hopped over and have worked for two different vendors on that side doing community management and engagement. So I'm kind of a longstanding channel guy.
All right. And Ryan?
Ryan Morris from Morris Management Partners. Glad to join you guys. My background, I come to this from a combination of the industry, the vendor side, and the solution provider side. After about 25 years in the IT channel, I've had just about every go-to-market position you can imagine. And I hope to be able to bring that kind of perspective from, you know, not just from the customer's point of view, not just from the vendor seller's point of view, but also from the real world of business execution in the channel.
All righty. And I'm Carl Polichuk. So I have built a couple of IT businesses in Sacramento, California. I guess when I finished with them, I guess we called them managed services. And I've written a few books, just about ready to release cloud services in a month. So that's kind of who we are. Now the next question is, what the hell are we doing? And so I'll start out and say, we got together recently and the three of us said, hey, you know what? It's not about just the channel. It's not just about managed services, not just about solution providers or vendors. We want to talk about a much bigger picture. And, you know, we want to look at all the Venn diagrams and realize, holy smokes, this is a much bigger universe. And we want to broaden the discussion. We want to talk about more than just delivering IT in a little box in a small company, but a much, much broader discussion about all the technologies that are out there and all of the kinds of things that happen in this space. And this space is also something we want to broaden the definition of. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. Where are you guys coming from?
Well, I'm definitely coming at it from that, but I'm also thinking about this, that we oftentimes get together, twice a year or once a year. If you think about this from the conference style, right? People get together, these landmarks during the year, have a 20-minute conversation about something, and then revisit it a year later. And I think it's much more important for this to be an ongoing conversation. That's why we're thinking about this much more rapid podcast style repeatability to it, that we want to be having this conversation a whole lot more often so that we have more time to talk about things, but also to inch toward it and make it recurring. And I'm hoping, you know, with listeners and interaction and stuff like that, that we'll actually have this be somewhat interactive too with the people that start listening to us, hopefully more than just the three of us talking, but make that something that we do regularly as opposed to that once a conference or that one blog article you read. Let's make this more ongoing.
I agree. Ryan?
You know, I would agree with that 100%. And I would actually kind of flash back to a project that Dave and I did a couple of years ago. We wrote a big white paper on the idea of agile development in the business conversation, right? Those of us come from a technology background, software development and coding, we're very familiar with the difference between a waterfall approach and an agile approach. And historically, the technology development world has been very much about one big idea that gets incubated forever. We think about it, we plan it, we make it beta, we bring it out to the marketplace, and then a couple of years later, you might get a version 2, a version 3. That's simply not moving rapidly enough for the way our business is developing today. agile as a mindset in terms of the way we run our sales pipelines, in the way that we do service development, exactly where you're coming from with the book point of view. Don't spend the next 2 years figuring out how to build what's next after a managed service practice or how to build a cloud practice eventually. You know, the market is there. The customers are spending money. And if we don't come to market with something relevant right now, somebody else will, and we're going to be left behind. So my philosophy is coming at this in terms of, it's this combination of, there's a ton of fascinating technology out there. Having been around for a long time, I've never been more impressed with all the cool shit that's available in technology. My question is, are we going to be able to adapt to be relevant in that new technology world as business people who get paid for the services we provide? I'm not afraid of the technology. There's cool stuff out there.
Right. So that's a great transition to Dave's rant. So one of the segments we have on this is we're going to rant about shit. So
I'd have some fun. You'll note already we've started with the colorful language.
So we're totally going to have fun. So as we met, we all met in Vegas. Ryan was on his way out of town, having finished with one engagement. Dave and I were on our way to a different engagement. And we're going to go ahead and call out Channel Partners, a truly great conference year after year after year. But something Ryan just said made me think of Channel Partners, and that is that don't wait 2 years, don't wait 5 years. You know, Channel Partners, in some sense, is super cutting edge, talking about technology that doesn't quite exist yet and trying to sell it. And at the same time, talking about messages that are 15 years old.
Yes. So I'm going to rant. So, and I scanned it and sent it around, but I'm not going to name the vendor. I'm going to behave slightly and not call the vendor out by name.
It's very mature of you.
Well, you know, people have Google if they want to go check, because they're handing out flyers that talk about their welcome to the golden age of the trusted advisor. Little trademark powered by vendor name. Okay, the vendor name I'm censoring. They have taken the time to productize the trusted advisor. Now, I'm going to just rant I believe in the idea of like positioning yourself as the trusted advisor or making yourself into a virtual CIO. Like delivering that value, I'm 100% with. But it's not really a product. Like it's not a thing that I skew and I sell you, and I don't have like, you know, here's my brand and I'm like trying to get you to buy. And it's just, when you were talking about it this level, you can see the meeting. Some vendor sat around and said, we're trying to be the trusted advisor. Well, let's make that a product. We can sell it to the solution providers and they'll buy it. And you just look and go, have we lost the total meaning here so badly?
And well, plus,
so cliche.
How many times, literally in the last 10 years, how many times have you seen somebody up on the stage say, we all get bored with the phrase trusted advisor. I know that's cliche, but ... And you're like, what the hell? Somebody like stumbled onto a 15-year-old slide deck and said, oh, that's a great phrase. We should use that.
We should use it. Now, and it's so funny because like there's an element of like, look, it's totally a legitimate idea and it's something people ought to be doing. So we're all nodding, going, yeah, 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 like do that. And by the way, if you're not doing that, like go fix that. You need to be a trusted advisor to business. But the value of like selling it and marketing around it and this vendor trying to sell you their trademarked product, it's like you are missing the idea. You are just totally missing it when you're doing this.
See, and I think again that I always live in this world of trying to translate between those of us who sell technology for a living and those who pay us for those products and services. And you know, I'm a simple guy. I got like simple answers to hard questions. The way that you distinguish yourself out there in this world is not to have a better widget or a more advanced version of a product, but to give advice that people trust and then pay you for that process. Cool. But that's kind of just getting into the game. That's not the answer for a branded offering. It begs the question of, if I'm in the vendor chair and I'm talking to my partners and we're both talking about selling to an end user, when was the last time any of those people actually talked to an end user and said, hey, when you choose to buy stuff from somebody, what makes you choose option A versus option B? And if they don't say the word trusted advisor, don't say it back to them.
Right. You know, and so you really do want to, I mean, I want to sort of yell at everybody a little bit for a moment and go, look, vendors, quit it. Like, just quit it. Like selling this is, you make yourself sound like you don't get it. But solution providers, like, if you're not just doing that, you're also like, come on. Like, that's what, if you're talking about being engaged with small business, medium-sized businesses, big businesses, what, are you going to lie to them? Come on, you're the trusted advisor because you're giving good advice. Like, that's the entry. Ryan just said, like, that's the table stakes. That's not your competitive differentiator. That's the table stakes.
Right. That gets you in the door.
Right.
Well, there was a thing on The Onion a while back about boss demands a relaxed, comfortable, friendly environment by Friday. Right. It's like, we want our culture now. But it's that kind of a thing where you say, look, you know, you go out there and get your people to trust you. You know, in the telco world, I got to say, you could start by not lying every time you open your mouth. That goes a long way to developing not being, you know, a trusted advisor.
Yeah.
The other thing that's funny is that a lot of us just do it, right? All three of us on this call, we've got people who call on us 10 years later and say, I need you to do this. And you say, well, I'm not really in that business anymore. And they say, I know, but you're the only one I trust.
Right. And trust is earned. Like, it's something that you get over time. So my kind of rant on this is, look, it's the right idea, but watch the execution, everybody. Like, don't spend so much time talking, like, do it instead of talking about it so much. You want to be the trusted advisor? Just go be a trusted advisor. Don't market it, trademark it, like, try and sell it with a flyer. Like, just go do it. Sometimes there's an element of like getting off your tail and just like do the heavy lifting, and that proves it. That's my rant. That's my takeaway from this, is just go do it.
See, and
just go do it. Trademark Dave Sobel.
Trademark. I know, I'm stealing somebody else's trademark too.
We'll be looking for the brochure coming soon. You know, my question always is in any of these situations, so why did we feel the need to claim the title being a trusted advisor? It begs the assumption that there were people giving advice about technology that was not trusted, which is not necessarily the most positive way to look at things, right? In other words, we went out there and told people, you should buy this, and they did, and it didn't work. Or we should configure your servers this way, and they did, and everything crashed in a smoldering heap. And they looked at us and they said, maybe you guys don't know exactly what you're talking about. And it became distinguishing to be able to say, no, I don't just sell technology, I actually understand. Right. That's a reasonably low bar, and we should probably raise the game a bit.
Absolutely. And even now, today, as we're recording this, people are on Facebook saying, how do I keep my clients on Windows 7, and does anybody know how I can still install a free version of Windows 10, even though that program has passed? And it's literally the whole trunk slamming conversation of how I turn NFR licenses into something I sell my clients. That has happened in our industry, and we can't just point the finger at somebody else. And Dave, you got like 130 seconds.
Right, exactly. I mean, I get it. I mean, and what we're fighting is real, but you know, there's also like, it sometimes is just the way you handle yourself. You don't have to brand it. It is readily apparent in the way that you have conversations. I mean, Carl, I mean, you've talked about this in blogs, you've written about it. I mean, there's a million examples on this, is the like, I don't do those things, and I just don't ever just like, when a customer asks me, well, is this a cheaper way? No, there isn't a cheaper way to do it. There's the right way, and then there's every other way. And I do it the right way. And
exactly.
That makes that, and you can see that in companies that execute that way. Pick the brand you latch on to. You know, for me, a brand I like to talk about a lot that I have a lot is Sonos, the sound players, right? Anybody who is a Sonos proponent, like who's into some audio, knows that the thing just works. It sounds great. Yeah, you can go find yourself some other speaker that doesn't, but you can tell the difference. And the people that are brand loyal, it's because, it's not because Sonos is running around calling themselves the trusted audio, right? Like it, what they're doing is they're putting out a great product and they are not compromising on that. And you can distinguish yourself by putting out a great product and not compromising on that.
Alrighty, so change of topic. AI, artificial intelligence. First of all, I just love everything about it. I think it's amazing. I'm not sure we have a clean definition of it, but I just rode in a driverless Lyft with two technicians. And I use AI software all the time, but the really cool thing is that I see it everywhere and I see so much opportunity. My favorite thing, there was an article in New York Times about insurance companies using AI. And again, that will loop back into the automobile. My favorite thing about AI is that there are places where I actively choose to participate, right? I don't care so much about the privacy thing. What I care about is I want it to know where I'm going and when I want to be there and what I want to do when I get there. I love that kind of stuff. And if it can anticipate what I'm doing when I'm driving a car so I can take my hands off the wheel and read a good book, I'm totally okay with that. But the insurance company also knows how fast I was going, how many times I put my foot on the brake. You know, they are getting lots of information that I don't necessarily want them to include, but it's part of the deal. So I know, Dave, you've worked with AI development stuff. Mm-hmm. Do you feel evil about that about that?
So I it's kind of interesting because I have been doing a lot with AI in the past 2 or 3 years or so and been thinking a lot about it and figuring out what it means. And first off, I'll say, like, I'm super excited about what we're doing with this, with AI. But I've also started, I've gotten a little bit beyond my initial just excitement and what applying to apply AI to everything. And I've come up with two big things that I like thinking about around that. The first is that AI is a lot like cloud in that we got another name that the general population gets interested in. The IT industry is not great at naming things. I've kind of always said this. We have lots of bad, we have roadkill that we've killed of bad names that we've left behind. Cloud was a good one, got a lot of people excited. AI is a good one because it gets a lot of people interested. But the reason it's so interesting is because Hollywood has done a great job with AI. What we're talking about as AI now is not Skynet. It's not HAL. It's not R2-D2. Like, it's not these things that the general populace thinks about. And I think that's the first thing to take away from it. The second thing is that because it isn't that, like, it's not actual true in machines learning and being sentient. What it is it's like good data processing that is smart and intelligent and making insights, is that we have to be really careful about what we're using it for and how we're teaching it. Because flawed data sets that have inherent bias built into it are actually problematic, and they continue that, especially if we don't get insights into it. The idea is you know, if you think about it from the perspective of, like, do we want... You know, insurance, right? Like, you brought up the great idea, but I don't necessarily want it to bring all of the biases of case law or examples from before into the new system, especially if I can't see it and I don't know how it happened and I don't have an appeal process and we all just go, oh, it's the AI decided. Like, that's the risk. And so I want to make sure that we're applying it in the right places and using it well, because, by the way, it does do a ton of stuff really, really well. It makes decisions fast. It helps you, you know, automate a lot of these pieces, but let's be realistic about what it is. Ryan, you're sort of nodding. What are you thinking?
Well, see, that's the thing, right? It's there's one perception of AI, which is very theatrical and dramatic and unfortunately almost always ends in a bad way, right? And then there's AI in the real world right now. And you and I have talked about this before. Every time I get in my car, I kind of know where I'm going. And I think I know, based on experience, the best way to get from here to there. But I rely on a phenomenally advanced and complex AI system that gives me a real-time notification of traffic changes and road construction and things that allow me to have a better experience in my 15 minutes in the car than I would have otherwise. Now, most people think, well, because it's here, it can't actually be AI, because it's something I use every day. My Waze app is not the same thing as Skynet. Well, eventually it can be. And I think that's where the really exciting part is right now. I think you hit the building blocks, right? It begins with data. It begins with the calculation or the analytics of data. And it also begins with the intention of what is it that you're trying to accomplish, good, bad, or otherwise, right? But then you take those three basic building blocks and you say, if you got clean data and you have powerful analytics and you know what you're trying to accomplish, the things we will accomplish with AI right now and where the people who work in technology every day are going to get paid for this stuff this year and next year, it's not in designing robot intelligence. It's not in advancing remote medicine and robotics in surgical care. We're going to get paid for things that improve customer experience through routing through a call tree based on predictive analytics of past customer behavior. That seems not just far more tangible, but it's something that your customers can allocate budget to right now. And this is the thing that I really want to make sure everybody understands. This is not a 10-year from now in theory conversation. AI is a right now. It happened last year. It's happening this year. Mm-hmm. And if you are not personally in your individual business working on this stuff and getting paid for it, you're the one who's getting left behind.
Well, and so where's the low fruit, right? For most of our audience, I'm hoping our audience will grow to take over the universe, obviously, but
naturally,
most of our audience is going to start out as being folks who are like, look, I'm day to day trying to help my clients solve problems. Where do they sell AI? Is it in the world's most sophisticated phone tree? Right. That if you are yelling, okay, we'll escalate you to the next level. I mean, is that the kind of, they're doing that, right?
There's an element of like, I mean, one of the, a good solution provider, IT guy, MSP, whatever name we're using this week, right?
MSP, sorry.
Right. MSP only. like computer guy, right? Like whatever you are, whatever you're doing, your first question is the same as kind of always. Like, am I vetting the people that I'm working with, the technologies, to making sure that I'm delivering the right stuff to my customers? Are the people you're working with, the vendors, for example, like, are they working on this? Are they delivering it and productizing it in a way that you can deliver? And it doesn't have to be like, AI, like sentient talking machines. It's, has their product gotten a lot smarter, and how can you make that relevant to the businesses you're doing? Like the call tree example, like it's so boring sounding, but like, who doesn't want to make the customer experience better in terms of like actually calling in and talking to somebody? That's like a big deal. That's something that we actually like really, we're kind of going, it's boring. It's actually super cool, because if you do a good job of making the interaction for your customers with their customers better, they will pay real money for that.
Right. Yep. Well, one of the things I did in my most recent book is I put in this form that's basically how you can help your customer with their new employee onboarding process, which seems like it's totally unrelated to quote unquote cloud services, except it's an opportunity for you to dig deeper into your customers and help them be better at their job.
Yep.
Right. Anytime you can do that, you become more valuable to them.
Well, and I'll take it a step further, right? Because tangible examples of things that are being done right now can be found. We've been talking in the telecommunications applications world. That's absolutely a place where AI and customer experience cross over in actual sellable products today. A second one is in the security space. If you are not applying machine learning to your active security defense layer, threat management, network access control. If you're not applying artificial intelligence in that world, the other side is, and you can't keep up with them, and they will win, and they will not win with humongously sophisticated attacks. They'll just outflank you with volume, and that's where machine learning and AI in the security world can work with us. But it also goes right back into the world of data and storage management, right? We grew up in a world of data volumes being limited based on hardware constraints, but data volumes exploding based on application demands. And so we lived in a world of data deduping. Well, you know, I don't know about you, but the first time I learned about how deduping conversations were had inside the software 20 years ago, it made me go, wait, really? That's what we're doing? We're looking at file names and extensions, and that's how we manage whether or not this is duplicated data that needs to get deleted. Now, data and analytics allows us to get radically improved utilization of existing data storage capacity based on legit analytics of deduping, right? Now,
again,
the least sexy thing you can do with AI, but boy, if you're not doing it now, somebody's going to come in.
Even the next generation of security is going to be, and we, by the way, 2-minute warning, gentlemen, but the next generation of security is going to be, here are your patterns, right? And if this breaks the pattern, it's like, okay, so now you got to prove who you are. Right, you want to open that file that you just went through Dropbox and you opened at home on a different computer? Sorry, only Dave can do that. Right, prove you're Dave, and you don't prove you're Dave by entering keywords and whatever. It's by your behavior, right. And I mean that's literally the next generation of Active Directory. So, you know, security is going to go to another level as well.
And I want to hold up a nugget Ryan just said for everyone who may have missed it. Like, that's where the money is, right? He was talking about this kind of boring security data. But actually, I really want to implore everybody, you know where the most money is in business? It's on the things that are really boring. Like, it's if you're looking for an industry where you want to make a lot of money, go find something that sounds really boring. You know where there's a lot of money? Like healthcare data processing. Like, you know, there's a ton of money there. But what if somebody comes out and says, I want to work on like Hollywood, like actor management, not a lot of money there. What I'm saying is like, go find these really boring ideas because there's tons of opportunity there.
Yep, and anything at all that you can do to give customers a feeling of control around sensitive data that is valuable to retain, but a very difficult thing to manage. That complexity is your friend. It is boring, so they don't want to spend their time doing it. It is complicated, and there are new ways that you could apply. That's a recipe for a customer saying, man, I really do not want to be the one who does this. Would you mind just outsourcing that for
right.
me?
Please just take this pain. Right. Just please just take this pain.
All right. Take this pain. Gentlemen, thank you for being here today. And that concludes episode 1 of the Killing It podcast. And every time we say killing it, the other, any one of us says killing it, the other two have to say killing it.
Killing it. We're going to work on our sound effects. So,
and sadly, we're just about out of time, so you guys got like 10 seconds each to say what should they look forward to next time on the Killing It podcast.
You know, I will say going forward, our vision here is to translate out of great big floaty concepts into very tangible advice, right? Not just the philosophy of technology, but the reality of bringing better business performance to our clients through the proper application of technology. That sounds as dry and as boring as you can imagine, but I swear we're going to make it fun.
And I think that's my too. Look, we're going to have some fun with this. We want to actually explore some stuff in some ways we haven't done before. We always hear that conversation. What if you could capture the hallway conversations? Well, we're trying. Let's see what comes of it.
And I'm just going to say, I'm looking forward to doing this with these two guys and just really having a great time. I think that there's a million things we could talk about. We made a list and it's like, oh yeah. So we're going to have a 27-hour podcast, but we're going to do it a half an hour at a time. That's it. We got to go.
Thanks for tuning in to the Killing It podcast. Please share with your friends and tell everyone to subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and all the podcast places. Join us next week and help us keep killing it in the technology business.